cliffcentral.com.
Hello there, and good afternoon to all of you out there, and welcome to the Futurology show today.
All of you.
The thousands of you that are listening to the show.
Turn that volume up.
Yeah. In fact, just do me a favor and turn his volume down, and we can get going. Because
I wasn't sure whose microphone I was on after last week and the week before's bad performance at the start of the show. I just turned everybody's mic on, so it's a free for all at the moment. So,
well, we are talking about disruption today, and today's an exciting show. I've really been looking forward to the show, and I've been tweeting like mad about it. So, if you haven't seen those, then I have no idea what rock you've been hiding under. But we're talking about blockchain, and today we have someone who does blockchain, someone who's actually built blockchain. But before we get into blockchain...
No, man, it's impossible. No one builds the blockchain, Mike.
No one?
No one. You know what? Surely.
I was about to introduce you, but that's Brett over there. Who's just
Hello, everybody.
Over, who's disrupting the show before even starting. So we've got Brett and Michael here. But I would like to welcome Monica Singer, CEO of Straight and blockchain builder. How are you, Monica?
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you.
Me too.
I really have.
Me too.
I've had goosebumps all week because this is the most exciting conversation because of disruption that is coming.
Yes.
This is...
Oh, yeah. Bigger than the internet, right?
Much bigger.
It is. It is.
No kidding. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I'm glad you say. Yeah.
But let's start with you.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about who you are so we just get some context to who Monica Singer is.
Okay. So I run a technology company called Straight. And we are the mother of all intermediaries. And the reason why I love blockchain is because it will get rid of all the intermediaries.
Woo-hoo.
So clearly...
Middleman, bye-bye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We are the middleman. So imagine when I learned of this technology, I thought, before anybody disrupts us, we're going to disrupt ourselves. And the only way to do it is by learning how this technology works, see it as an opportunity as opposed to a threat. And that's what we're doing.
Fantastic. So how did you learn about this? Because, I mean, you've got a pretty secure position as the intermediary behind the JSE effectively.
Yeah.
So
you
manage all of the transactions across the equities, the bonds, the money market. So there's no one who's going to really come and disrupt you there, is there?
Correct. No. But, you know, I gave a picture to my board and the picture had a Brontosaurus and a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah?
So you will think that these two are worried that each other are going to eat each other. And then in the same picture was a meteorite. I said, guys, the concern is not the dinosaurs eating each other.
It's
look up. It's coming. So the reality is I looked up, I saw this technology, and I can see the future. It's in front of us, and therefore I need to find another role for Straight because we add value. But with this technology, the current things we do, we won't have to do anymore. And therefore, what is our role? And we have sort of found out a new role.
Before we get into your role, were you worried about the disruption on the JSE itself, the broader ecosystem, as opposed to just your business?
No, the JSE is safe, you know.
Okay.
It's a match engine.
Yeah. Well,
it's a match engine.
It is still coming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've just launched another stock market.
They have.
Yeah.
So the disruption kind of comes.
Yeah, that's more
from a real competition, right?
You know?
Yeah.
But this is disruption where your current business doesn't need to exist anymore. And if you hang on, it's like the taxis and the Ubers. It's like, really, move on, do something different. No?
Newspapers, right?
Yeah. Go for it.
B2.
Thank you, B3.
That's my play. I thought I was BS.
Well, you can be if you want. Occasionally, you are.
Occasionally.
Mm. Sorry, BS.
Go for it. B2. Be normal.
So anybody that's... Yeah, I'll try that. If anybody's listening to the show, we brought up blockchain through numerous topics, from security to travel to everything else. Automation's been a big thing. What on earth is blockchain? For those people that are out there, in its purest and simplest form, what is blockchain?
Okay, so it's the technology that underpins Bitcoin. So if you trade Bitcoins, that is the technology that is used. And the reality is I want people not to get too hung up about the technology.
Mm.
You know, like I use the internet. I don't know how the internet works. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So people talk about blockchain like, oh my gosh, who cares? The point is that it's a technology that it's real time. It doesn't need a central authority.
So it's decentralized.
It's decentralized. it's impossible to hack in reality so far. It's impossible. So it's immutable. Mm. It has the complete audit record. So from the first transaction until the real time now.
So it's trustworthy.
Trustworthy without the need for people. So it's not that you have to trust
really
straight or the central bank, or the technology in itself has got this mathematical formula that prevents double spending. What does it mean? If I remember, everything is digital.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So now let's assume that I transfer to you my shares that are electronic. You want to make sure that when I give you my shares, that someone went and removed from the ledger this transaction and changed my name into your name. Mm. That's what it's called to prevent double spending. Okay.
Yes.
The technology does exactly that. It's impossible that I would transfer something to you and not change the record. Do you know why? Because my books and your books are recorded at the same time.
Yeah.
So you can see what I'm doing and I can see what you're doing.
Yeah, so you got the transparency in it, right?
Don't you love that?
I love it. But I think you got banks and all those guys who are going, well, do we want transparency?
They have to get over it because that's what life is going to become.
Yes.
The public, what is the issue is not about what the banks want, it's what the clients want.
Yeah.
So if the client starts waking up to the fact that this technology can offer them the service, they're going to demand it and they're going to vote with their feet if we all don't provide to our clients what they want.
Yeah, sure. 100%. I think of the four-party payment model where you've got a million different middle people servicing the one transaction, each with their little cut, and no one knows who cuts where. Well, there's no transparency there.
Costs, the reconciliation that has to happen every day. Do you know that before Straight...
Because it's real-time reconciliation, right?
Yeah. And before Straight gets to settle the transactions on the stock market, there have been many intermediaries. You know, it's the stockbrokers, the banks, the regulator. Everybody has something to say on one transaction. And you know who gets a lot of benefit? SWIFT, because we have to...
They own it, eh?
Yeah, all these SWIFT messages have been transferred.
Are SWIFT making a play in the blockchain space? Surely they should be trying to own that spot.
They're trying to do exactly what we are, which is to say, what is our new role in this ecosystem? Mm. Because clearly this will eliminate the need for SWIFT.
Mm. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Monica, just coming back to Straight, what have you built to date? Have you actually got a live blockchain, and are you managing JSE transactions on a blockchain?
No. We you know what? To tell you the truth, it's very sensitive when you're trying to disrupt yourself to go and disrupt the core.
For sure.
Mm. No?
Mm. So, very good point.
So we have to do what I call, it's not about revolution, it's about evolution.
Yes.
We're talking about financial markets. Financial markets need to be 100% secure because this is the basis of the economy. So you take baby steps, even though this technology can do it, but it has still some question marks. So what we've been doing is playing with this technology in peripheral areas. For example, one blockchain that we created is on proxy voting. Do you know what proxy voting is?
No.
For those that don't know,
one
of the services we provide is services to shareholders.
Yes.
So shareholders in a company have to attend an annual general meeting and vote on certain resolutions. Currently, that is done by people coming to a meeting and voting with a piece of paper or show of hands. Crazy. Now we create.
It is crazy, right? And we base a whole lot of value and control over
we're
those.
We're able to do Facebook likes on social media, but we can't do voting by a digital medium.
Now, can you imagine? So this was a no-brainer to put that in the blockchain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amazing. You vote with your cell phone, you get an app, and you could be sitting in the toilet and voting at the AGM because you don't have to be at the meeting. You don't have to vote on the day of the meeting.
Yes.
You vote anytime. And the transparency that you can see
totally clear.
Who's voting for what.
And
do you know that today we don't know who votes for what? It's all secret.
We'll never be able to put it in Parliament, right?
Why not?
Blockchain will be Parliament.
But look at
kidding. I'm dying for someone in Parliament to say, please.
To say, let's do it, right?
Yes. Yeah. We've got technology.
Yeah.
We can change the world. I'm not kidding.
No, I quite agree. That's why I'm so excited about this conversation.
Moosey, if you're listening, please come speak to us and let's get this into Parliament.
Nah, he's got bigger fights right now, I think. To the point, though, is the corruption. It could solve this corruption massively.
100%. But you know, the political will has to be there. The technology's there.
Mm. The technology's there. And it's ready to go.
Ready. And we could spearhead the rest of the world if we just said, we're going to do this.
If we're going to do this, 100%. Now, just in terms of the technology that you've actually got in Straight, are you able to do all of this right now?
The proxy voting, definitely. We are also testing a trading system.
Okay.
But, you know, you have to be very careful. There are many politics, many issues, many.
Okay.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot in the bank as well, as we try to disrupt ourselves.
Yeah.
There's the culture issues. There's the issues of trying to set the teams up right and the old immune system's kicking in. Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only person.
No, trust me.
I want to give you a hug.
Please, I need one. You're kidding. I need one badly.
And you are so huggable.
Thank you.
That's sizable.
Thank you, guys. But it's hard because the immune system wants to get
rid of you every time.
So blockchain will ultimately affect everything.
Yes. And remember, what I want to clarify is not, let's not use the word blockchain, because blockchain is just one way of recording transactions, which is used by Bitcoin. The real, I think, better language is distributed ledger technology, because blockchain is quite unique, but DLT applies to everything.
They're different, aren't they?
Yes, because blockchain is recording the transactions in little blocks, joined by a chain and another block. And that is a little bit complex that Bitcoin works on that, but it's not as efficient when you have many, 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 many transactions.
So Ethereum DLT, and those kind of DLTs are coming into play.
So so Ethereum's a DLT. It's not a blockchain.
Exactly. Mm. Okay. So the new DLTs are really practical to cope with huge amounts of volumes. And what is DLT? It's simply ledgers that have been recorded
simultaneously
in all the nodes.
So blockchain is a DLT, as we said.
Yes, but it's a special DLT.
Yes, specifically. Okay. Around Bitcoin.
Yes.
Fantastic. So now, the one thing is around blockchain is the mining process.
Yes.
And on the Bitcoin, there's a huge amount of mining that needs to happen. A huge amount of power has to get inputted to actually verify those transactions.
Yeah.
How do you go about doing it at Straight?
Exactly. That's the point. We chose not to have a mining process.
Because you got a DLT.
Exactly. With its own cryptography. So there are many cryptographies that have been – cryptography, for those that don't know, it's a mathematical formula that prevents fraud and double spending. There are many mathematical formulas that have been developed for the different DLTs.
Okay.
The other thing you have to understand – I need to clarify this. Bitcoin is called permissionless, meaning anybody can go in and trade a Bitcoin. You don't have to ask permission to your bank, to a central bank, to the receiver, no one. You trade whenever you want to, okay? It's an open source, open for everybody, okay? Open market. The one that we want to create for the financial markets, because remember I told you it's about evolution, not revolution, it's a permission ecosystem. So Straight wants to say, for the financial markets, we're going to create an ecosystem that we will decide who comes in, and we will be the overseers, the warden of the ecosystem. We won't do the settlement anymore, because settlement will happen
automatically. Simultaneously and automatically.
Notes, but someone has to oversee the ecosystem doesn't get...
So you're now the Chamber of Mines, in other words.
Chamber of Mines. No, sounds too boring.
Something
bigger. Something amazing.
But you,
what can it be? The ruler of the universe.
Yeah. Monica, so in
I'm teasing.
No. Not really, but but you now become the miner effectively through the crypto. What did you say?
Cryptography.
Miners
are the ones that have to play this game. You know, the proof of work in order for the transaction to be recorded. We're saying you don't need to do this game because you embed certain controls through an algorithm that doesn't have to be by playing a game and getting penny bitcoins.
Okay.
It is totally different. This is just how do you ensure that the ledger is up to date, recorded in everybody's at the same time, so there's no need for reconciliation, no need for controls. The auditors will get real time one of these ledgers. The regulators will get real time one of these ledgers. So they can monitor every transaction that is happening all the time. Do you know, for example, you would know that banks every month have to submit these returns to the registrar banks.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm saying to the registrar, with just this technology, you will get this real time to monitor all the ratios.
It's a permanent submission.
Yeah, so immediately you can see if a bank is under threat or, you know, under any risk. And the other thing that is amazing, technology, one of our biggest threats is cyber.
Yes.
And how does cyber
happen?
Don't
we know it?
I know.
Sure.
And one of the problems with cyber is that you have single points of failure. Straight has got the register of all the investors in the country, so we could become a single point of failure. With the DLT,
yes,
because the register is now replicated 100 million times, shame for the hackers because they won't be able to get to all of these registers.
For sure.
Do you
absolutely
see what I'm saying?
So you're more of a strategic point than Nkandla.
Yes, exactly.
There we go.
Yes.
I have to have a question about the – so you've built your own DLT.
Yes.
How is that distributed? I'm trying to get my head around who takes part in all these millions of points, because there must be now thousands of DLTs available, right?
Of course. That's the issue.
Trying to understand the distribution.
That's why I asked the miner question, because I've never worked this one out.
They're not one DLT. There's going to be millions and millions of permutations.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, think about the intranet.
Yes.
Okay. So people are going to start by creating intranets in the DLT space, which is little private DLTs just for a specific purpose.
That's like what Barclays is involved in.
Yes.
R3.
Yes.
Similar.
That's one.
When you build a consortium.
Yeah, that's Corda.
Slightly. Yeah.
Yeah, they call it Corda.
Corda.
Yeah.
My question is, if there's so many of them, who's regulating the regulators?
Nobody.
So it's because it's so automated, because it's so immutable and everything's happening all at the same time, there's no need to have regulators for regulators. Because that's what happens, corruption aside.
Yeah, so the regulators will get a node, a copy of the ledger, and they will be able to ask any questions and make sure that everything's happening. And then imagine building to this DLT, artificial intelligence, and even big data that you are naturally putting this intelligence.
Make it smarter.
Yes.
And at that point, it'll probably be actual intelligence rather than some of the regulators we have today.
No, that's a very nasty comment. We have great regulators.
Nasty. South it Africa, is uncensored and unsafe.
South Africa is one of the best countries in the world. I'm not kidding. Actually, the World Economic Forum categorizes us as the best financial market in the world.
Wow.
Because of regulation.
2008.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
Nothing happened to us because of our regulation. Yeah.
You know what? That's
really
a great
proud.
Point. We're so quick to you know, there's so much crap and shit going on in the world. Well, certainly here in South Africa.
Yeah, but no, we should
it's a great
count
point.
Our blessings. We're really an amazing country in terms of what we achieve.
But this will make everything better.
Yes.
As on top of it.
Yes.
Of course, because now you don't have to rely so much on, for example, the opinion, you know, of a human being. I'll give you an example.
Well, like what I just said right now.
Yeah, exactly.
If there was blockchain in the show, I would never have been able to say that.
Exactly, no?
Do a DLT podcast.
And also...
we'll have an anti-Brett Lindsay.
Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example. You guys heard about black swans.
Yes.
Do you know what a black swan is?
No.
A black swan is something that people say it's... that a black swan means something that you at that point in time you thought it would never happen or it didn't exist, and then when it comes to attention, you realize actually we all knew about it, but we didn't accept that.
Yeah.
And the term comes from the fact that many years ago people thought that there were no black swans until someone went to Australia and found the swan there. So the point that I'm trying about black swans is that black swans happen when people apply their own interpretation to things.
Mm-hmm.
So if slowly but surely you have technology that takes away that subjectivity, especially when you are managing risk.
Yeah.
You want to rely on something that will tell you, hello, you've got a massive risk here, and you don't go and dismiss it because in your personal opinion it's not an issue.
Mm.
You know?
Because you have your own context around that position of risk.
Correct.
Take it out.
Yes.
Let it be analyzed by pure data.
There's no subjective.
And that's a problem with all our compliance teams in the finance space, right? So I also deal with our regulators, and they're pretty progressive.
Yeah.
My experience with them was trying to get our platforms onto the Amazon cloud.
Yeah.
They were thumbs up all the way based on our own risk and compliance teams, which were all driven by their own opinions on what the cloud meant to them. Wow. And that delayed us by 6 months.
For sure.
So imagine if we had that kind of – and compliance and risk is really important in our space.
Really.
if we could make it better.
Exactly. And that's why, even though immediately people go, oh my gosh, Bitcoin, it's, you know, it's for illegal transactions.
Yes.
I'm saying I can write a book about that, and that's not the issue. The issue is this is not about Bitcoin. Mm. This is about the technology that was brought to the world by Satoshi, and you think he or she or they must have been so pissed off with the world.
Sure.
Because it happened because of the financial crisis. So they said, my goodness, how could it be that we nearly messed up so badly?
Yeah.
And that's why this technology came to the world to say, never again, never again.
And I think came to the world is the operative word here, because it's your spaceship example here.
Yes.
This truly is a spaceship.
Agree?
No, I do.
I also believe in that.
I just think it's such a powerful...
Yeah.
Because when I look at the implications of blockchain,
and
you know, this is the futurology show, so we have to look towards the future, the impact of this, and just the decentralized it. Just, what do you think the future is of this? And perhaps I can give you a bit of a tighter context around the role of money.
Yeah.
Because it's something I've got a very strong interest in.
Yes, Mike.
No, definitely. Because now we've got the origin. You know, you're moving away from banks originating to blockchain, which effectively makes every human being potentially their own central bank.
Yes, I love that. Can I tell you, it's exactly my theory. No, I'm not kidding. Wow. I'm glad you said that. You know, I'm fascinated by this because the reality is, you know, when you deposit money in a bank, do you know how it works? That it's like an IOU.
Yes.
And the bank can use that money for whatever they want. And so that's why you have to choose your bank properly because, you know, we don't have
to. And they get to gear that as well, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So if, and there's no deposit insurance in South Africa.
And we get to pay for the privilege of them being able to use our money.
Exactly.
No. You missed Monica's point.
Yeah.
Yes. All money is debt.
Yes.
So it's not your money in the first place. They've made it out of nothing. Yeah. They've originated.
Yeah.
So it's an origination process.
Exactly. Wow. So in the future, because of digitization, the reality is that the money should be in an account that nobody can use, you know, as you know, for
it's
their
basically
investment.
Linking it back to like how we used to link it to gold, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Linking to a physical value point.
Yeah.
But digitally.
But it's a digital. And I think that the best is the central bank. The central bank should be holding these accounts because the central bank don't incur liabilities. They cannot invest it. They just have the digital record on behalf of the investor. And with your phone, you can access this. And if the central bank doesn't want to do it, they can outsource to different fintechs that can be controlled. And they must just hold their electronic record on our behalf. And that's it. And no more banks risk of them losing our money.
I mean, have you engaged with central banks around these kind of issues? I'd love to know their opinion because it's very risky, right?
Mm.
I mean, we were talking right at the core of the financial institutions.
Yes.
And I'd love to know what their opinions are, if they do have any opinions.
Definitely, I have to tell you that all the central banks around the world, or not all, but the most progressives are talking the language that I'm talking to say, guys, we need to look at the future of money. The crisis showed us that what we're doing is not working. Mm. And by putting more regulation, it's also not going to work. And all these loans that the government had to do to the banks to save them, it's also not going to work. So something must change. And you know how Einstein said that you need to resolve a problem with a different level of consciousness to the one that created the problem.
Otherwise, you're banging your head on the wall.
Exactly. Right? No? Yeah. So this technology has allowed the imagination to say, wow, we can do something different. And that what we just discussed is exactly that. The digitization of money, and there won't be any more need for money in paper or coins. Everybody has a cell phone, and if poor people don't have a cell phone, it works that you give them the cell phone. So that's going to be their e-wallet. Mm. Everybody should have an e-wallet.
Totally.
You know, in Bangladesh, there has been this initiative, and women are being attacked by either their husbands or people when they have cash. Now, because they have an e-wallet, they feel empowered because they have access to money.
They have control.
Control. So this technology will also ensure that people that were unbanked will have access to money, money in a digital form.
And
Why not?
And you can't manipulate that individual because of the money. So,
exactly.
I mean, my bank could technically manipulate me by becoming untrustworthy.
Well, hopefully not.
No, hopefully not. But, you know, just
that's everybody's fear, though.
Yeah, it's quite a fear.
Trust.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Mike, can I go back to your statement that everybody becomes a central bank?
See, I'm so happy Monica's here because she got that.
I'd like you just to kind of flesh it out a bit because
you see,
I'm feeling like the Mike in the show at the moment.
Hashtag ask Mike what Mike said.
Yeah. But Brett is very quiet, B2. Yeah,
I'm taking it in, eh?
I know. No, I'm feeling, I've learned a lot already.
You know, the challenge in if we look at our current system is everything is revolved around money. It's the core to the entire system. Yeah. To solve poverty, we have to fix the money problem.
That's it.
If we look at how banks create money, and understand this, they originate money out of nothing. Every piece of money in the economy is actually debt. It's not money. So I don't think anyone asks the question, where does money come from? And if you can fix that problem, and that's the role of central banks.
2008 exacerbated that, right?
Completely exactly. Exactly. And to Monica's point, the quantitative easing gave a whole lot of money to the banks, who were the very problem. Because if we gave money to the people who needed it, you would have reduced their personal debt. But coming back to the point is if every person focused on the contribution that they made, and that became the debit and credit, rather than a set of banks that had control over the origination of money. You change how we live our lives, and that is it's a massive impact.
So
it's a big impact.
Is this where we can start looking at how we tie in universal basic income, right?
For sure.
That kind of distribution of that income to the right people.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's what Monica's saying. Because let's say we nationalize the central bank. Mm-hmm. So the South African Reserve Bank, it's nationalized and is owned by the South African population. Mm-hmm. We own the debt. We can write off the debt. So if we say, okay, we're going to originate 100 million rand.
Voting proxy system.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
We originate 100 million rand. We give everyone 12,500 rand per month to actually survive. We can solve this problem tomorrow.
But what do the rich people say about it?
Well, they don't like it because they're earning interest off the debt. They're rent seeking.
Well, at the moment, very few countries are paying interest.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Money's become very cheap. Yeah, absolutely.
But there's still quite a few that are.
But you know, I don't think that rich people make money out of interest. You know, they make money about investing. They invest the money.
Yeah,
so that's not an issue, you know. The reality is that we need to look at this in a different way, and this technology brings huge opportunities.
Absolutely. Coming back to the technology itself, because we're going to go off on an economics conversation, what have been your biggest challenges? Because this is 1996, and the internet has just kind of become a commercial application. That is where we sit in.
I'm picturing Amazon's first web page.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
100%.
What have been your biggest challenges at Straight in getting this moving and evolving what you're trying to do to disrupt yourself?
Education.
Okay. So it's not the technology that's
the
hard part.
It's the same problem everybody in digital has at this
moment. I promise you.
Yeah.
Hey? Okay.
It's a cycle of maturity.
That was not the answer I expected. The technology, it's not new enough. We've got to get this going. I thought you would be looking into it.
Of that will be resolved. Yes, there are little challenges here and there, you know, but there's so much energy being put into resolving the problems. I believe the problems will all be resolved. But if you don't have people embracing and wanting to learn about it, then you can take a horse to water, you know.
Exactly. I've got this image of DLT blockchains. Like they wear their underpants on the outside and they have a cape and they're bulletproof. It sounds like it's this technology that's been introduced. It's probably been around for a while, but it's actually becoming more aware.
Yes.
And it can solve.
Yes.
I'm going to say everything.
I don't know, but I know.
I think when applied to everything.
It will resolve a lot of issues when I implemented Straight 20 years ago, I moved from paper share certificates to complete digital. And there were a lot of issues at that time that I wish we could have resolved.
Yeah.
Mm. And this technology does exactly that. So that's why, for me, this
journey.
It's the revenge of the nerds.
I love it. Exactly.
I love it.
Thank you. This is amazing.
So, I mean, for me, it's because you can identify every single asset on the planet.
That's it. Every asset. Not only money. We're talking money. I'm talking about, you know, today there's an app called Everledger.
Yes.
Everledger is tracking the source of every diamond in the world.
So when
you go and buy or sell a diamond, you know that it's in the blockchain. And therefore, no matter where in the world you are, every diamond dealer,
oh my God, the blood diamonds.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. That's exactly it.
DiCaprio with a great South African accent. Sorry, sidetrack again.
Yeah. It's all right.
Isn't it amazing? Can I give you other examples of things that's going to change the world?
Please. Yes, please.
For me, the one that I love the most. This one is really cool. Like insurance. Mm. Why don't we really buy insurance? Because the things that you really get upset about is that when you have a claim, you have to be on the phone, you have nasty people.
Only to be told that you weren't covered for it in the first place.
No?
Yeah.
And you think, what the hell? No, really, people? I'm not buying insurance, you know?
Yeah.
And now, let's assume I'm running an insurance company. I want people to trust me that I will pay because that's why I'm selling the product. Do you know how you do it? You put it on the blockchain, on the distributed ledger. Yes. You know how you do that? The insured person, the insurance company, the broker, my bank, everybody has got a copy of this insurance policy.
Yes.
Mm. You put a, it's called a smart contract. Mm. I haven't talked about smart contracts.
Yes, I'd like you to explore on that.
Okay, so smart contracts are just an, like a program that does things automatically. Okay, so it links my, let's assume my insurance policy says, if any of the flights that I'm in, because I fly a lot, it's delayed, I want to be paid in insurance.
Yes.
Okay, so you link the flight data, which that's freely available, to my insurance policy. And the smart contract, the moment that my flight is delayed,
the claim is
it
made.
It does. No, you, not even a claim. Cha-ching! The money's in my bank account. Automatically, I get an SMS saying, you're the lucky recipient of your insurance.
Remove all transaction layers.
That's it.
It's powerful.
Don't you love that?
Do you know, guys?
You are going to get that hug we spoke about
earlier.
Why? Right? Because
it's amazing.
So I want people to start imagining the possibilities. And you know how it is with the sign thinking is, if you wish it, my role is to bring it to you.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And this technology will do that. So I just want to educate people to get enlightened, to say, how can we do this? Mm. And not to start giving me this, no, it cannot be done because.
Yes,
no, I don't want that. I don't take this.
There's a great example in Ghana where they've got all the problems with their land rights and corruption in the government and securing your property rights, right? Yeah. And so there's a little startup, I just wish I could remember the name of the startup, who's solving that problem. And I'll tell you how bad it is. You can come home that evening and see that your home has been sold to somebody else.
Yes, no, it's a big issue. Oh, it's a very big issue.
So they're using the blockchain to solve even the most emerging, developing market problems.
But that's a fundamental problem.
It's beautiful, right?
No, but that
on smart contracts.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah, that's what we want. Why should we have so many layers? When you buy a property, you have the estate agent, the conveyance, the bank, two banks, two lawyers, 100 million pieces of paper. Do you know how boring it is to sign all these papers? It's ridiculous. There's something should be in the smart contract.
Think about the experience of the customer, right? So you buy this beautiful home.
Yeah.
You're so excited.
Yes.
And we muck it up with contracts and all this. And
you wait for 3 months if you're lucky.
But you could just press buy and then walk in.
With my iPhone, I should be able to say buy. I love it.
Exactly, 100%. But now, Monica, you mentioned Ethereum earlier.
Yeah.
How easy is it to get involved with Ethereum? Because that's what you're using to build your blockchain.
You can use Ether. You know, Ether is the currency of Ethereum.
Ethereum, sorry.
And you can use Ethereum to as a platform. There's also other platforms.
Yes.
So you're not stuck with any platform. You need to experiment and choose the one that works for you for the different functionalities. Because maybe, for example, you know that the distributed ledger for medical records is coming.
Yeah.
And maybe that it's more suited in a different platform. So like Chain has got a platform, and that is very much suited for financial markets. So different platform for different needs.
100%. So let me ask you a few questions. We've got a crisis in this country at the moment, and it's no April Fool's joke.
Yeah, no.
It's a very serious issue. Yeah. 17 million.
April Fool's is coming up.
Yeah.
But we've got 17 million people who may not get paid.
Yeah.
How easy is it to solve this problem with what we've got right now?
Yeah.
Could what you've built solve this problem tomorrow?
I have no doubt. When today I was listening in the radio, I don't know if you heard the interview, when the guy was saying that it takes 12 days for the cash. Now, did you also go, I started laughing hysterical. 12 days for cash to get to
people? Was it a bunch of pennies and wheelbarrows? Why is it taking so long?
No, really?
Exactly. We're mining, literally,
you know why?
Physically mining.
Because it goes through one bank account to another.
Everybody needs their cut.
To another. You know what? We move trillions of rands every day,
in
real time, people. Real time, we say it all. real time amongst bank accounts. Why is nobody talking to us? We could have resolved this. Why? Because everybody wants to have a say, and maybe everybody wants a cut. But if we start again and say, what is the ultimate objective?
Yes.
To get the money to the pensioners and the people that 100%. Need it on time, every time, transparent, without abuse, because yeah. that's the other issue.
Mm, totally.
What is this thing that the company that is doing this transaction now had the right to go and sell?
Cross-sell the insurance policies to people who can't really afford it.
It's like straight. We have the record of all the investors in the country. We don't go and cross-sell, electricity and yes. stuff.
And in terms of solving this crisis, what would the pensioners actually need? Would they need does it need to be a smart device?
Well, you could do it on USSD still. It doesn't matter about the channel, right?
Yeah.
Because this is back end. USSD connects to the internet.
Is it that simple?
It's just a user interface, guys.
Donate the bloody phone to the person. Yeah. That's it.
No,
and
exactly.
connect them.
Exactly.
3310s. Here we come.
Yes.
So, I'm going to just represent the silver surfers at the moment, or the geriatric people that we all.
Because you look it.
Do IT. Yeah, no. But I provide enough IT support to enough of them. So I know exactly how this works. Now, they are dubious at the best of times.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong with their bank account or something, debit order came off, they can go into a teller or a bank branch and they can shout at someone.
Yes.
Yes.
Makes them feel better.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't resolve anything.
Yeah.
But there seems to be this.
Why did you point at me?
This human-to-human accountability.
You're the bank.
The bank.
So you blame it on you.
The bank and the Sega T-shirt. But, so there's this idea that there's this accountability. Now, the perception will be that this accountability has been removed. Yes,
why?
It's immutable and it's trustworthy and it's ledgered.
Yeah.
But we speak about human-to-human.
Yes.
And we speak about this. How do older generations, granted, they're not always going to be older generations. Hopefully, as we move through this,
simple.
We'll...
Very simple. I went through this when I built Straight. I used to get calls from old people saying, you have taken the pleasure out of life from me. I said, oh my God, how did I do that?
Wow, that's quite a statement.
You know why? Because they love going to the bank on a Saturday to touch the share certificates. They had it in a deposit box, and they used to count the share certificates.
Those people need to find balance or something.
I know.
They need to find
So I was to blame because I took their happiness away. I said, don't worry, you're going to get a statement, and I'll print it for you so you can count your statement every day. So you replace it. So old people like this that have a phone and not coping, I would open like a call center place where people can go and talk. Like SARS, it's all electronic, but you can still go and you can go to an office at SARS and they'll help
you. If you really want to.
If you want to, if you're battling with your e-filing, you go to a person at SARS and they'll help you complete the forms. So that's not a problem. Those are so minor issues. We have to do the mind shift to say, let's go digital, the technology's here, and it can change the world.
Absolutely amazing. So what do you see the future for Straight then using this blockchain technology? What is your vision that you will evolve into? Because you've just changed your core value proposition as opposed to the intermediary for the JSE to the intermediary of everything.
Yeah. So in reality, I believe that our selling proposition is that we are the trusted third party. So instead of being a trusted third party, we can be, we sell trust. We sell trust. Think about it.
Yeah.
Because of Straight, you know that every day that you trade, you will get either your cash or your shares on time, every time. Your dividends will be paid without any problems. Your records are secure. That's what we sell. I give you an example. E-commerce. What is e-commerce? It's trust. Because I'm not buying the internet. I don't know if I give you my credit card, if you're going to abuse it. I don't know if I'm going to get the goods. What would happen if you have a company like Straight creating trust to ensure that the delivery versus payment happens every time?
Yes.
It comes down to trust every time. Every show that we talk about comes down to trust.
Yes.
And yet, as organizations big and small, one doesn't focus on trust. Yet it's blatantly obvious these days.
Yes, and that's why this technology that achieves consensus, transparency, immutability. Yeah. Don't you think those are the words that you need?
The building blocks.
Yes. Yeah. Those are the building blocks to ensure trust.
And it replaces the greed for trying to accumulate money and the fear of not actually having money.
Yes.
Which changes your livelihood.
And the ability for people to abuse this.
Totally. Totally, absolutely. Monica, in terms of education around the blockchain, you know, we look at, you know, we've had a couple of shows around the future of education. How do you think blockchain is going to change how children need to actually learn? I mean, is this something you've thought about at all?
You know, for me, it's all about the kid. You know, the new generation, let's be honest, have embraced digital.
Yeah.
Much better than us, you know. For I'm sure that to your kids, you don't actually give them an allowance in money. You open a bank account, no matter how old they are, and you put the money in their bank account. And then with a mobile, you teach them how to access the bank.
No, I disagree with you there.
Oh, really?
I give them an allowance.
Yeah.
In data.
Oh wow! That's I like that.
I see you. I rate you well.
Wow, that's clever.
Currency,
you see,
currency is changing.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, you know what? That is actually bloody
I
smart.
I love that.
Yeah.
Have you thought about
no.
it?
No.
And you draw, and they're like, "Why? Why must I be on prepaid?" Well, have you fed the dogs?
Yeah.
My three-year-old understands
yes,
this.
Yes, I love that.
Has the device got data?
Exactly.
I want YouTube Kids, Dad.
Yes.
Come on. So,
yes. So we've diverted you. No, but this is in the middle of answering.
I switched off the Wi-Fi when it's dinner time. I said, oh, my God, the Wi-Fi's down.
No, in fact, I was praying for a
took away
a
the
modem.
Pleasure.
No, I want a time-based modem that turns itself on and off.
Yes.
No, exactly.
Solve real problems.
Yeah. No Wi-Fi. Yes, I agree.
That's what happens, though, hey.
Yeah.
Like, you set out to do one thing, and you led to actually a better thing. Hopefully, that's more, that's just better all round.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we don't see the wood for the trees as society.
Yes.
We're always like, oh, we need to fix that. No, well, that's the symptom. Look, what's the root problem?
Yes.
How do we make the root problem better so that everybody gets the thing?
Correct.
A lot of the time, I find specifically in doing the digital solutions is you don't know what you don't know as a client or as we don't even know sometimes. I thought I knew blockchain. I didn't know it at all. I'm slightly clued up now, and I'm going to talk to you again, believe me. But what is it that we can do more? I mean, like, it feels like we have
read.
To do this already.
You have to
we
read.
Have to do this.
And also, you have to play.
You have to play, right?
Guys, really, that's what we've been doing.
We've been saying,
my board
fail.
Thinks, like, really, it's time not to play anymore. really, you're not a trust fund kid, you know. yeah. So they're right. So that's why we're now trying to monetize some of the tools that we created. But by playing, you will become as passionate as I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people do it by reading, others by visual, others by doing.
Yeah.
So just look at the way that you learn and do that. But I want for people to start embracing this by getting educated, you know, and if, you know, if you see what I do all the time in my free time, read about blockchain.
Read.
It's open source. The material is out there. Go to my website,
I shared the links on Twitter.
Yeah, we have a massive repository of information. We want to teach it everything. We will even create material for exams, you know, that you can do, you know, tests. You know, electronically, and then you can write in the internet real-time exams so that you can self-education is the way to go. You know, in India, I don't know if you heard, it's become so normal for all this material to be available that the government has recognized that self-education using internet tools will be recognized. The government will just set exams. So you electronically, so you write the exam.
But I love that. That's
and you
great.
Subhata Mitra's hole in the wall theory is panning out actually happening.
No more schools,
no standardized testing, really.
Nothing.
It's not based on what information was available to everybody from one source.
No,
you have all the sources available to everybody all the time.
Exactly.
Go.
And freedom to choose the sources. You just have to pass the exam.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you think it's incredible? The freedom, access to information. That's what we want. I don't want the teacher to tell me what I need to learn. I want to choose what I want to learn.
Absolutely.
So you no longer get stuck on where is X in an algebra equation. You now actually realize that you're learning this because I have a bigger dream and a goal as a human being that will add value to society.
Yes.
I can tell you where X is. It's the coordinates of...
Thanks.
And then you become in love with
there.
Maths because maths becomes an adventure, which is that's how it should be.
It is.
Well, there's a practical reason for it now.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Like how many times as a kid you would say, Mom, why do I need to study maths?
Because.
You know, because you have to. Now you know why. Everything is maths. Everything.
Yeah, everything is maths. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's the one thing that we don't do well in South Africa.
I would like to challenge my co-host here.
Oh, dear.
I know. They're all getting a bit nervous. They're not used to a challenge. why don't we see if we can set up our own DLT?
DLT.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. Should we try to do it?
Done.
You must.
Done. Okay. Done.
And we'll give everyone an update and maybe present it to you and see what you think.
Yes, but you can come and chat to the team and they can show you what they're doing.
Mm. All right.
All right.
Really? So if you're listening to the show, we're gonna do that. We're gonna make our own DLT.
Yes.
We'll determine for what a good purpose. It is.
Yes, it's
for podcast.
It has to be for a good purpose.
No, it has to be podcast.
No, let's serve a purpose.
Yeah, I like that.
We gotta find a proper purpose.
Like that, I told you the one that we did when we were playing, which was to help UNICEF to distribute money in Nigeria for vaccinations. Yeah. So we created the DLT where they could track where the money went.
Yes.
So, and it's simple.
We've got 10 minutes left of the show, and Mike's got a ton of questions that we're going to get through. I don't think we're going to get through all of them, so I think we're going to have to have you back. But let's do a real fundamental use case, if we can, for the next 10 minutes. You've mentioned travel. You've mentioned if your plane was cancelled, you wouldn't need to push claim or go through that transaction process. It would be done. Linked to travel, there are things like booking the plane.
Yeah.
There are things like getting your visa or the regulatory things that we need to do. How does a day in the life of a blockchain DLT user look on the ground today?
Okay, so it's very simple. Let's assume I have to book a travel. I send an email to my travel agent, true or false. And that is a bilateral communication. Mm. What would happen if everything is in the distributed ledger where that email, I'm using that language so people understand. So that email gets recorded. Yeah. Not only the travel agent, my bank knows I'm going to pay for this. The airline knows that I'm going to do this. The insurance company knows that I'm doing this travel. And automatically, everybody gets at the same time this email.
I've got a challenge on that.
Yes.
So we are making the assumption that the banks are plugged into the DLT, that the insurance companies and everything. So it's a big ecosystem play.
Yes.
It's the ecosystem.
I actually come out of an ecosystem play building advertising networks.
Yeah.
It was an incredibly difficult thing to get in place.
Yes, it is hard. Why? Yeah. Because people
sometimes don't like
to work together.
Education.
But the beauty of this technology is that it requires consensus. Mm-hmm. It requires teamwork.
Mm.
Don't you love that? Yeah.
The world of collaboration.
Collaboration.
The world of collaboration. It's how we grow our businesses
today.
That's it. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Culture.
Yeah.
I'm going to chirp on about my age of experience.
Mm. Yes.
With all this freely available time that we're all going to have because processes happen instantaneously.
Yes.
What a wonderful thought.
Yes. Oh. Imagine.
Oh,
I can't stamp my pieces of paper anymore.
No. But now there's a lot more time for experience and a lot more people to experience
filing.
Them.
No more filing. Oh, no. I'm going to miss it.
Only have to get fecund once. Oh, no.
Only once. That's a reality. Technology.
Guys, 100%. Let the old man speak.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
No, I'm trying not to make so much noise when my brain blows up because it really is a game changer. I'm going to have to listen to the show
again
and again.
Three times.
But sorry, I'm looking at your shirt as well. Brett Sinclair's wearing a Sega t-shirt and like that's retro gaming and entertainment.
Yes.
Those types of things, I'm trying to look at impact in the future. Like, let's explore the future rather than trying to predict it.
Yeah.
There will possibly be an opportunity because of things like blockchain, because of people having less need to be constantly consumed by mundane tasks, because blockchain's now sorted this out. We're going to have freely available time to explore new opportunities.
Yes.
Things like Sega might make a comeback.
For sure.
And something that nobody could have ever predicted properly would be to like invest in retro experience activities.
Of course. It would be all about the experience.
It's all about experience. So we're freeing up the
virtual reality, man.
It's fitting into the philosophy of the age of experience.
Yeah. Yes. And also people, I think, will live, this is my hope, more minimalist.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Without accumulating stuff, it's about the experience. That's the only thing you take with. So
no,
I think
absolutely.
The new generations are going to get that.
The final thing from my side then will be, doesn't that not make experiences the true currency?
Of course.
Boom.
Not money.
Of course.
The value you can extract from the time that you have.
Yes, and that's how the millennials think about life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Value.
They don't want to buy a house. They go Airbnb, and they love the fact that they can go to different places all the time. Why be stuck with your house all the time?
Yeah,
no?
Absolutely.
Experiences.
Yeah. So you got to keep repairing it and getting the plumbers in.
Yeah,
and
who wants that hassle?
Deal with the bank.
No?
Yeah, so you don't need to deal with a bank because it's been dealt with.
Exactly.
And while you're on a 12-hour, 8-hour, 12-hour flight to wherever it is you're going to have your next experience, you can be studying
learning.
And educating yourself.
Hello, learning. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Isn't every moment is a moment.
It's about educating yourself all the time because there's so much information. You know, when Socrates said, the only thing I know is that I don't know anything, because he knew that he would never be able to know everything that is available. Yeah. And really, we should be spending more time learning.
We should. And I think it's fascinating. I find it a very, very liberating thought process because I've just lost my thought. Sorry.
Well, Mike, I can tell you what, just to help you there. Today, as a bank, I do feel like a nose.
You do feel like a nose.
I'm always being picked on.
Picked on. It's what you find on the inside.
Sorry, that joke just found my thought. But I do find it a liberating thought process because we look at this world that we live in and it's driven by consumerism. Mm. And what blockchain is bringing is the opposite of consumerism.
Yeah.
And it brings a sense of freedom that I think is unimaginable.
Yeah.
And I just, that's why I'm so excited. That's my final thought of the day.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, in the same way that the internet democratized information, the distributed ledger will democratize the transfer of value of any asset.
Totally.
Mm.
So it will give you security that you don't have to worry so much. It's in the ledger.
It's in the ledger. Yeah. And that's freedom.
Yeah.
Liberation.
Yes.
Actually, liberation.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm going back to this, the ecosystem of trying to get people on board. I think there's a massive opportunity for people out there to bring these people together. Okay. So I'm a big fan of open source. And I think open source, it's a certain type of organization and individual that's passionate about it, but it requires the principles of open source to get all these organizations on board.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's what's going to kind of slip the timing on blockchain a bit.
You know what?
Or maybe that's the disrupting force against all the banks who are not moving, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you're
right.
Got it. Cool.
So globalization then.
Yes.
It makes this type of stuff helps globalization really just rampantly happen.
Yes.
It almost seems to become more difficult to change your neighborhood than it does to actually just engage on a global scale. And things like blockchain are really opening the door for that to happen.
Yes.
Sorry, I answered my own
you
question.
You are a philosopher, man.
I do think sometimes, therefore I might be. So, we've spoken about blockchain. For those of you that are listening, thank you again for joining us on another episode of the Futurology Show. This is part one of a fintech discussion. Have we got two cut up next week? Have we got it up? We're hoping for discussions around banking and disruptive forces and transactional and institutional commerce.
I think we should do payments and beg Brett Loeb should have come on the show. Brett, if you're listening, we're going to pull you in, pal.
Yeah, okay. When you're back from your South by Southwest, we can get a catch up there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Monica, thanks again so much for joining us in
the
show.
You. Thank you.
If you'd like any more information, you do have a Twitter at handles. Is that a good place to get hold of you sometimes?
Yeah.
And it's at Monica S. Singer. It's been, there's a bunch of tweets going out at the moment. From Straight.
Yeah.
So anybody, STRATE.
Yeah.
You want to know more about blockchain?
Yeah.
Get in touch. And then, as always, the Futurology team are always on Twitter. If you want anything, ask us, hashtag Futurology at cliffcentral.com. We'll be happy to answer some of the questions. If you've got any sort of show ideas as well, let us know. And, we'll be in touch. But with 3 minutes left to go, Monica, where is the future of this? Mm. This is the Futurology show. We spoke about a lot of the heres and the nows and the maybes. For you, where is the future from all this?
I just hope that the governments will embrace this as their foundation for changing the inefficiencies that we currently have, because there's no need to have these inefficiencies, you know, and we all shake our heads, and I'm saying, let's not shake our heads, let's get involved by helping governments to, you know, be more efficient, you know?
Great.
Excellent. Zuma, did you hear that?
Yeah.
He does listen in.
Excellent. This is another episode of the Futurology Show here on Cliff Central. Check us next week. Until then, hashtag the future is coming. CliffCentral.com.